It's really too bad. The writers are killing you. Even though you are hot and interesting. Oh, Richie, you came to town. You and your sis got around. You got with Blabe and Blandy. Got Ryan. But then you went so crazy. You and your sister Blandy. You both got written into the corner. Cause when you came around, we hoped that you'd be found to be sane and that Miss Blandy would be the crazy. Oh. But then you killed your shrink and you made us rethink when you tried to kill Zach Slater and Miss Greenlee. Zach and Greens, you were really mean. It's so sad. The writers suck. Turned you from a heartthrob to a freak. It's not fair. You could have been great, but you ended up with the face of chopped meat. You gonna die. Oh, Richie, you gonna die. Who's gonna be the one to do it? Greeley? Kendall? Babe? Maybe your own sister. Gee, I wonder who it's gonna be.
This week on All My Children, Kendall, Greenlee, and Babe all take turns with Richie, giving new meaning to the term three-way.
New Kobe and the Scooby Gang go up to Crystal Lake.
Where's Jason Voorhees when we need him?
Carmen Morales goes Carmen Miranda for her hot new boss, Adam.
And Sam Woods gets to experience firsthand Erica's torturous 6 minutes and 38 seconds in solitary confinement. All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
I am your host, Ashley Mendoza. We have Big Mouse on the show. That's why we do the show.
Yeah.
We do the show because we have opinions, but at the core, we love the show.
Otherwise, why would we be doing
it? Why the hell would we do it?
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
You're gonna bleep me a couple of times tonight, I'm sure, because I'm feeling feisty.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending July 4th, 2008.
Happy 4th of July, listeners.
Happy 4th of July.
Woo!
We are so proud to present a brand new opening given to us courtesy of Lewis.
Yes, thank you, Lewis.
Thank you, Lewis.
It's cute. I like it.
I love it.
I like it. What do y'all think? You like it? I liked it.
I think it's a lot of fun. I was so excited. When he said it to me, I was like, oh my God, this is awesome.
I know. We got the best fans listening
totally
to this show.
Do. What did you tell me before we started the podcast?
What?
You said, did you see the blog this
week? I know. The blog. You guys are all blogging. I'm loving it. I get such a... I wake up every morning just to see what's new on the blog, and you guys crack me up with your astute commentaries.
Astute
commentaries.
Very astute. We have the most astute listeners.
Yes, we do.
Without a doubt.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, we do not have the most astute show right now.
I know. It seems our show is going back to a little bit of Megan McTavish, if you ask me. But
a little bit. We don't have Chuck Pratt yet, do we?
No, I don't. I know it takes a while because they write the shows in advance. So it takes them a while before like you start seeing their material. But their influence is, you know, is already obviously showing.
Ooh.
So where do you want to... I'll admit it. I'm a little feisty this week because there was a... You know what I felt about this week's episode?
What, Jordan Hudson?
I felt like at one minute I was watching Brilliance. And then in the next scene, I was watching the most torturous thing ever. It was like the most uneven.
Something quite the opposite of Brilliance.
I mean, it was just... Was it just me or... Right? I just felt like it was the most uneven week of a show.
Well,
I mean... And soap operas usually are a little bit unbalanced because, you know, you got certain storylines that you like more than others. But, I mean, I'm talking about looking at some Emmy Award-winning acting and material and then going to stuff that wouldn't even be on UPN, WB, or the CW. That's what I'm talking about. I was just like, you know who I'm talking about.
It wouldn't even be on the public access channel.
It wouldn't even be on the public access channel. Exactly. Dad. It was. I mean, I just was like, I just could not control myself. I wanted to hit that fast forward button so many times.
I did not. Did you do it?
I didn't do it because
because of the show.
It was like roadkill.
It was.
It's also watching new Kobe. I'll say it. It was all new Kobe we're talking about.
It was all her fault.
Watching new Kobe was like watching roadkill. You know, you just can't help but look. I was like, how they could not shoot those scenes and the executive producer and Brian Fonz not say, boy, we made a mistake.
Isn't there a rumor that a certain cast is trying to get the EP ousted?
I heard that rumor, but I don't think it's All My Children. I think it's Guiding Light.
Oh, that makes
I think the people at Guiding Light are just over Miss Ellen Wheeler, which I feel really bad about.
That makes sense.
For all of you who don't know, Ellen Wheeler, their executive producer, used to be Cindy Chandler on All My Children.
No way!
You didn't know that?
How the hell did I not know?
You didn't know that?
I never knew
that. You're kidding me. You really didn't know that?
I never knew that.
Yes. Ms. Ellen Wheeler, Cindy Chandler, Stewart's wife who died of AIDS. She's their executive producer. She's a great actress. And I mean,
great actress, horrible producer.
Well, I wouldn't say.
Awful. Have you seen that show?
I would.
She's horrible.
But some of those things are, certain things are in her, you know, control. Things are not. No, I gotta tell you.
It's being, her show.
I was going to wait till later. I was going to wait till later. But being that you brought me in a nice segue, what? I got a surprise for you.
Oh, no.
And for you listeners.
Uh-oh.
My mama always used to say this. My mama used to say, there's always going to be somebody better off than you. And then there's always going to be somebody worse off than you. And the reason she said she told
said that.
My mama said that. That way we could stay grounded. So you see, as much as you hate All My Children right now, some of you, it could be worse, and I'm gonna show you how.
He's going into his bag,
me, like my favorite Brooke English reporter, I cannot reveal my sources, but I was able to get my hands on a Guiding Light script that's not aired yet.
Oh my God.
And me and Ashley,
you're gonna get us sued.
Me and Ashley are gonna reenact a scene for you guys. Now wait, I want you, Ashley's gonna be my proof. Let's look at this. Where's that sheet?
Oh my goodness, people, I have not prepared. I had no idea.
It's a head writer, a co-head writer, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 writers listed here on this script. Now this is what my point, guys. These people get paid a lot of money to write this script. This is a scene from the 2007 Emmy Award winning Guiding Light. This is a scene that's not yet. It's coming up.
What do you mean Emmy Award winning?
They won the Emmy for Best Show last year.
Shut up!
Yes. But wait.
In 2007?
No, but they deserved it because that was 2006 that they were being judged by. The 2007 Emmys is for all 2006 material.
You mean
material.
The one that we just had just the other day?
No. That's last year.
Oh, I got you.
But it's always the material the year before.
Okay.
I'm going to play Billy Lewis.
But I haven't even
You're going to play my sister-in-law, Kathy Lewis, okay?
What kind of accent does she have?
She's just a white girl.
She like Kendall?
Yeah, you can
all
do
right,
it like
I'll
Kendall.
Do my
okay. Scene 25. Cassie finds Billy eating fried chicken.
Have you seen Josh?
No. Try the chicken. Cassie sighs, takes the chicken from him, and takes a bite.
Yum. That is good. End scene.
End scene. I swear to you, that is the entire scene. Is that not the entire scene? Look at it. Are we lying? Am I lying? Look
at
that.
I wish I had prepared a little more. I would have thought about how delicious the chicken was.
That is an actual scene that's going to air on the show.
I would have done a sense memory exercise.
But that's an actual scene that's going to air on the show.
Susan Lucci.
Can you believe somebody got paid money for that?
That is ridiculous.
So you see, as much as we diss All My Children, it could be worse, people. It could be so much worse. We could be seeing this. So now you know why I'm like, oh, about Guiding Light. Because I'm watching this kind of crap.
And that was a very fun surprise. Listen, the thing is, the truth of the matter is that we do not fast forward because we are committed to you, the listeners and the viewers. We watch so you don't have to. That is gospel to us here.
Yes, so, you know.
We do not violate it. It is sacred to us.
So we're taking a bullet for you guys.
Every day. Our eyes are taking bullets every day. Seriously, I'm going to be honest with y'all. This week was not that bad for me.
No, it wasn't. I didn't say it was bad. I just said it was uneven.
Yes, I agree with that. It was not that bad for me. I enjoyed certain scenes and did not enjoy one group of scenes. And we are going to talk about that group of scenes. Actually, I don't know how much I could stomach talking about that group of scenes.
Oh, I could.
Because we have to get through the podcast. And what happens is when I talk about those certain scenes, I get a little nauseous.
and I taste a little bile in my throat, and then I have to go to the bathroom, and I don't want to interrupt the show.
You're so stupid.
So I might have to cut it a little short.
All right, let's
start. I will do my best.
Where you, who do you want to start with?
Well, listen.
Well, let's start with the big story.
Yeah, we got to start at the top. We got to start with the whole Richie fusion, all that stuff. We started out the week with Richie last week stealing Babe. The lights go out. The fusion girls are working their little fingers to the bone. And all of a sudden, the lights go out. And all of a sudden, you hear, whoa!
What was that? Do it again?
Whoa!
One more time.
Whoa!
There you go.
And it was Babe. It was little 97-pound Babe. You know, because she's a little meatier than the other 82-pound girls. She's 97 pounds.
Okay.
But let me tell you, she looked gorgeous. Pedro Carlos watched this week. He said Babe looked like a Charlie's Angel. I agreed.
I do. I have to say, I thought Babe, new Babe looked kind of pretty this week.
Really, the white pants. And
she looked kind of hot this week.
She looked real pretty.
She really looked to look a little Cheryl Laddish.
Well, listen, here was what was funny, though. The Fusion girls realize that something has happened, and they hear someone at the elevator, and they run. Kendall is holding, like, an umbrella. Greenlee's holding a lipstick or something like that. A little precious Amanda is holding the charm bottle of perfume.
Oh, Amanda.
I was like, oh, man. It turns out to be Zach. And, you know, there's just a lot of back and forth little stuff. Like, you know, I don't know, Zach telling Kendall that he will kill, like setting up for the murder mystery.
Yes.
Zach tells Kendall that he will murder Richie. And, of course, Jesse overhears. And, you know, Jesse questions everyone. And, you know, I gotta say, Amanda, beautiful this week. I loved her this week. But she's such a little support role this week. But even in that little support role, I just love her. No,
I love Amanda. I don't know why they're not giving her her own storyline and giving her something
you
to do.
You told me something. Ugh. Can we do a little baby spoiler?
Yes.
Whoop.
Spoiler alert. What are my sources?
Wait a second. What? If you don't want to hear this, you better turn down your iPods, turn the volume down on your computers right now, because you're going to get a little gem of a nugget from Jordan Hudson. Go.
One of my sources claims that in upcoming weeks, it seems that Amanda might be crossing paths with Mr. Jake Martin, which I think would be smoking. But again, this goes to what we were talking about in the blog. Along will come whatever her name is, Carolyn or whatever, played by Beth Ehlers. So see, I can't get excited about Amanda and Jake. What is it? Samantha, Julia. Trixie. Oh, not Julia. She died. I'm sorry. Trixie.
I don't know. That's a cool name.
Trixie.
I forgot what her name is.
Who cares? I don't even want her to come to town at this point.
It's a cool name.
Well, anyway, Taylor. Like Taylor Miller, who played Nina Cortland.
Oh, don't mention that name.
Oh, remember Nina? I used to love me some Nina. Anyway, we digress. But again, the powers that be are determined to give us Beth Ehlers with Ricky Paul Golden.
Wait a minute. You told me that Jake was gonna cross paths with Ashley Mendoza, and then they were gonna fall madly passionately in love on the first look.
He was gonna
take her in his arms and make mad passionate love to her.
No, that's you watching that unaired, like unedited version on SoapNet that only exists on your channel.
You might be right.
Because I don't get that.
I'm telling you, if Jake ever makes that love to anybody on this show, I'm gonna find somebody to do a special video effect where they put my picture on the woman's face so I could just watch it and rewind and dream of Mr. Ricky Paul Golden making love to me.
Like, they put, what's his name, in the Madonna Vogue video. Did you see that?
No, really?
Every time on CNN, I think it's that, what's that president, the guy that's running for, not Obama, the other one. The Republican.
McCain?
Yes, I think that's him. I'm at the gym, and I'm on the treadmill, and every time I see CNN, they're putting the Vogue video on, and there's McCain.
That is so funny.
I have not found out, like, what's the 100% story behind that. All I know
that's
is that
really
on CNN
funny.
That keeps playing, and I'm like, what's that?
I like that. So now we get, here's where this whole convergence of events really perturbs me. Because Zach leaves Kendall. Richie's on the loose. He's on the run. He has abducted somebody. And Zach leaves his woman. I didn't get it. And then she don't call him.
All right, well, I mean, he's not going to come back to grab Kendall. He got Babe. That's who he wanted. So Kendall's in no danger.
I don't know about that. I just felt the whole thing was like, really, listen, all I'm saying is that for me, the storyline was a little forced.
Well,
you know, just separate. All right, fine.
There's lot of forcedness about this storyline. Yes, I mean, what about the scenes between Zach and Jesse? I thought that was horrible.
Yeah.
I thought that was badly written. I didn't understand why Jesse was being all like, I'm the new police chief. I got to show how big my penis is. And then Zach wants to like, my penis is bigger than yours. And Zach's getting all like nasty with him.
It's got to be.
Oh, he's no, so badly. Baby.
Really? You don't think?
Jesse's black girl.
Oh, that's you got a point.
Ooh, anyway. But no, but seriously, no. Seriously, I thought those scenes were really bad. Did you like them? I didn't get them. I didn't understand why he was giving Zach a hard time. Why Zach was giving Jesse.
I didn't even take any notes.
I just thought it was the worst written scene. I mean, it made no sense to me.
A lot of this.
Zach's giving him attitude. You need to go get Richie. Why are you asking these questions? He needs asking those questions because he's the police chief, you idiot. He needs to know what's going on.
Well, listen,
it seemed very out of character. I didn't like it.
But here's what I agree with, all right? The justice system failed Zach and Greenlee, right? Because they let Richie go. So yeah. I can see how he have an attitude with Jesse. But
why to Jesse? Jesse wasn't the judge.
Jesse's questioning him, and Jesse was being a little bit of a
Jesse was jerk. Being if a you little ask bit me. Of a jerk, but.
And if it was me and some guy had like tried to kill me and then the cops are questioning me and making me the bad guy, I'd be a little pissed off too. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
I thought it was appropriate.
It seemed OTT for me.
I thought what's OTT? And you know,
over the top.
Oh.
And then you know, I'm really scared that this is what Jesse and Angie are gonna become. Angie's gonna be the new Dr. Joe and Jesse's gonna be the new Derek Fry, and they're gonna have no storyline. This is what I'm afraid of. This is what it's looking
You're right.
That's all Jesse did this week.
Well, Kendall and Greenlee at the end of this whole episode make a point of making clear that they are tired of the women of Fusion being hunted down like dogs.
Why?
They're going to fight.
Who else hunted them down?
Everybody hunted them
down. Satin Slayer?
That old 92-year-old man. He killed all of them. So stupid. He got Kendall with a cyanide dart in her little neck.
But she still acted her little ass off.
I know,
that's the thing I love about Melissa Minchin. No matter what crap they give her, she can act out of her favorite. She's fabulous.
Do you ever have a moment where, like, you kind of feel like a human moment where something happens to someone and kind of brings them down to, like, a human level, like an embarrassing thing, like a fart, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or, like, you burp or something like that. If I was ever intimidated by Alicia Minshew, all I have to do is think about that girl. That 97-pound woman sitting there with a little dart of fake cyanide in her neck, crying over a 92-year-old French man who could barely talk.
Oh, you know, I saw him in something else, and he was actually really good.
He's probably pretty good.
He was totally different. I see. So it's the material. It's Megan McTavish's material. It just makes everybody look bad.
Well, anyway. Then we have a little Blandy stuff interspersed here. We have some Richie stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have a question for you. Why is all of a sudden Bryant so interested in Blandy and so protective of Blandy? I thought he didn't love her.
Jesse makes a point about that. Because Jesse then later interviews Ryan and he makes a point of that. He tells Ryan, too, I thought you can't remember her.
Yeah.
And I was like, good point. Ryan, answer that question. I agree with you. That's another thing. There was a lot of inconsistencies in why the characters were doing the things that they were doing.
It's
this
almost
week.
Like he doesn't forget her at all. Like he keeps saying, my wife.
Yeah, like
my
it was it, like if you had not watched All My Children for the last few months and you did not know that Ryan had amnesia and you were watching the show, you would not know that Ryan had amnesia.
Exactly.
Because he was acting like he knew who she was and he cared. I mean, I understand you don't want your wife to get into trouble, whatever. That I can understand. Right. But there was definitely, it was just a little bit too much caring.
Well, the interesting thing was at the police station when Blandy, to me, this was interesting, when Angie checks her out and Blandy asks her about if she could harm her baby if she happened to be pregnant by getting hit over the head with a bottle. You like how I said bottle?
Mm-hmm.
That's how my grandmother says it. She says bottle. Bottle.
Your grandmother's from England?
No, she lived in Yonkers.
Well, so why she sounds like she's ate them?
No, not bottle. It's like bottle. Give me a bottle. Like that.
You're so stupid. I love that.
I'm stupid. All right, listen,
you cracked me up.
I like it. Listen, I kind of like that, but here's my thing.
You're a silly girl.
I got a question for y'all.
What?
Y'all know. At least I do. I got a man, you know what I'm saying? So I keep track of this stuff. Y'all know it takes more than 2 days to get pregnant. She had sex with him like 2 days ago. And
this is a soap opera.
This
is a soap opera.
It drives me crazy, Jordan Hudson.
You know what I find interesting?
What?
Is that Angie's Ryan's doctor. Don't you think that she would know that Ryan had a vasectomy?
I would think so, yes.
That's what I found bizarre.
Was she gone when Ryan had the vasectomy?
No, no, no. She's Ryan's doctor now. So she was treating Ryan for that amnesia thing before Jake took over. That means she has a chart.
I don't know that she would look at
that. That would be in his chart. That would be in his medical. You have to look at the medical history. That's how Jake knew.
What does having sperm in your testicles have to do with your brain?
That it's all about your medical history. That's why Jake was able to tell Ryan that he couldn't have that special surgery because he has some kind of woof 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 thing going. I still don't know what that's about.
I don't see what having sperm in your testicles has to do with a brain.
What I'm saying is that it's part of his medical history, and Angie should have known that and said, "How the hell are you going to be pregnant, girl?"
I'll forgive her that. I'll forgive the writer's that loophole. All I know is Blandy is so sneaky. She gets in touch with Richie. She's so pissed off about Babe. She actually lets it slip to Ryan that she thought Greenlee was taken.
Because I like that.
That was pretty good. But anyway, so he's kind of suspect. But she ends up leaving a note for Ryan that she went to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of sly. I liked it. It was devious.
But see, this is what I like about the storyline. I like the fact that Annie is like a desperate woman right now. Mm-hmm. She's determined to get what she wants to get. My fear is that they're going to go and take her to that level and cross the line, which is what most soap operas do nowadays. They don't know how to write a good bitch anymore. Where's the next Tina, the next Dorian, the next Erica? You know what I mean?
Everybody,
even our Kendall's like watered down now. What happened to those women that were not psychotic? They just would do whatever the hell they needed to do to get what they want. That's why I'm liking Annie right now, because she reminds me of the bad girls, you know? It's like she's tired of being a doormat. She wants her husband.
But she's not doing it.
And she's doing
it.
Whatever.
No, but she ain't doing it from that place. She's all nervous and wimpy about it.
Well, that's because that's the way the writers are writing, because the writers don't know how to write a good bad girl anymore. That's my point. And they're ruining it because they have somebody on the show already who can do it. And the character has enough reasons to be a bad girl now.
I have to say, I was shocked that all the viewers, I was reading Super Poster's blog.
Hi, Super Poster!
Our friends at the All My Children fan space. If you want to read his fantastic blog, you can go to www.myspace.com/superposteroftheyear. And you can read lots of scoops and spoilers and stuff. And what I was really amazed was everyone seems to know what's happening with Blandy. I didn't. I was confused.
You didn't know she was getting pregnant?
I knew she was getting pregnant.
You didn't know she killed Richie?
Ah!
What?
That's a spoiler!
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought everybody knew that. You said everybody knows.
It's a spoiler, people.
My God, you would have to be dumb, deaf, and blind not to see what's happening. The writing was on the wall Friday's episode.
Everybody knew but me. She was the last. I thought it was new Kobe.
You saw Thursday's episode, though.
I thought it was new Kobe.
But did you not see Thursday's episode?
But we don't see him die.
But she was the last one with him, though.
Who knows? Who's to say he didn't run off?
She said, get out of the car, get out of the car. And he was laughing in her face. Do you honestly think that he just ran off? He was laughing like the Joker and Batman in her face.
How the hell is she going to take on Richie?
She got something like a hammer and bludgeoned him.
You think?
And then left him on the road so that drunk Kobe and Dre are going to crash into him. And then those two idiots are going to think.
That spoiler. Woo, woo, woo. That's all spoiler, Jordan.
And that's it on the magazine.
You ruined it.
I didn't ruin anything. That was in Soap Opera Weekly. What are you talking about? It's been everywhere.
All right, fine.
It's stupid. It's a stupid way for Richie to go.
Dumb.
Dumb.
It's stupid that he should even leave.
Well, it's stupid that she didn't even leave, but at least I like the aspect that Annie was the one who killed him. But then that means that Annie's going to have to leave now because she killed her brother. I disagree with you. I wish they would keep Annie on and make her a sexy vixen bad girl.
Sexy? Have you looked at that woman lately?
She's cute. I like her.
Still Holly Hobby in mom jeans.
The only thing that's unattractive is that little Enriquez Iglesias mole. She should get it removed the way Enrique did.
Attractive.
That little beauty
mole. Beautiful girl, not sexy.
I'm sorry. I think she's sexy, especially with her hair dark.
Who the hell does she generate? She's attractive. There's a difference between attractive and sexy.
And then there's Brianna Moncrief.
Oh, no! Ay, Dios.
We're gonna be snapping on her in a little while, so let's go.
Save the snapping
because she's gonna get a new one.
This babe is very sly. She is sly, but she's also terrified of him. But she's like giving it to him, and you know what I mean. Like she was like, I liked her in this. She was really upset and crying and stuff, but she was also like playing with him because he was like saying that he liked her. And she was, like, trying to get him to fall for it, that she liked him, too. I liked it. You didn't like it? And then she suckers him in, and she goes to pretend to kiss him, and then she knees him in the balls. In the bolitos. You say bolitos?
Do I say that? Yeah. No. That's, like, ghetto Spanish. That's like saying la mesa en el rufo. You know, there's real words for that.
So be to be.
Wait, she was saying that. She called me up after last week's podcast. She goes, you're mad at me for some reason. I'm like... Why do you think I'm mad at you?
He called me an idiot on the show. But it wasn't like, it was like.
I call you an idiot and stupid all the time. No, I do. You're so silly.
He was like, you're a freaking idiot.
No, she is so crazy.
All right, listen. This is what happened.
I feel like Kelly Ripa to your Regis Philbin.
I know. That's what it is. But listen, we knew where it was going, right?
Where?
The whole like. Seduction, fake seduction thing, and you knew it wasn't gonna work, and you knew that he was gonna get all pissed and really try to hurt her. But I kind of really like it because Kendall and Greenlee figure out they deduce that he took her to that same cabin that he took her 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Well, whatever.
Last year
feels like years. Feels like a decade.
Yeah, well, when watching all my children, sometimes it does sadly lately. But anyway, I did want to say what? That I. Are you all sitting down for this? I did want to say that I actually agreed with you. I actually thought New Babe was really good in those
scenes. Hold on. Ow! He deserves that.
Oh, my God.
For all the times he gave me slaps for saying that I like New Babe.
God, you pack a whopper for a 44-pound girl.
I kind of hurt my head.
But no, I actually thought she was really good. I was like, wow. But see, this goes back to what I was saying. It's not that Amanda Baker can't act. It's just, it's hard to see her as Babe. But I think she really proved herself to me the same way Nicole Forster, who plays Cassie, eventually proved herself as Cassie to me on Guiding Light. I actually liked her. I disagree with you, though. I like the whole bite of Extremities. Obviously, they're biting Extremities. For those of you who don't know, Extremities is a play that made Farrah Fawcett famous. As an actress, not Charlie's Angels. She was just a pinup girl, but people respected her when she, with Extremities. No, he, at the beginning of the play, he attempts to rape her and she gets the upper hand and then she ties him up and then her two roommates and our friends come to the cabin and the three of them are there and they don't know what to do with him because he's tied up. And the whole play is about these women with this, you know, potential rapist and they have him tied up. What do they do? You know, what is one of them wants to kill him, the other one wants to call the police. It's an incredible play, and it's what got Farrah Fawcett to be respected as an actress. And I like the fact that they're biting off of that and the whole concept of it. But just like with a lot of things on All My Children, the idea is good, but sometimes the execution doesn't work for me.
I didn't mind it.
I would have preferred if Babe would have got the upper hand on Richie right there at Fusion and then Kendall and Green would have walked in. Because the whole thing of Richie kidnapping her and then the whole thing of Kendall and Greenlee being Batwoman and Batgirl and figuring where everything is at, that was stupid. Well, I didn't like them as superheroes.
What basically happened, people, is that Kendall and Greenlee bust in with pepper spray and they get Richie and they're able to tie him up and they're able to each one of them take turns and slap him around and tell them
that I like.
Their life and how much they wanted to kill him.
That I like.
And it was pretty good. Like, Greenlee goes first. Mm. And she was good, right? She was good. They were all good.
Mm-hmm.
I liked when Babe clubbed him with that fireplace shovel. Mm-hmm. And you heard it, like, boom.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. So Greenlee goes first, and then Babe takes over. Because Greenlee acts like she's going to kill him. And Babe says, don't do this, or something like that. And then she takes over. I was cracking up at Babe because she was like, guess what, guys? Richie took me because he loves me. What a joke. Richie offered to kidnap little A. That damn grin never left your face. What I wouldn't give to get rid of that grin for good. I liked it.
Like I said, I like that aspect. It's just the execution, the way they came about it, I just didn't buy.
Well, I thought it was funny because as first Greenlee goes and then Babe goes, Richie won't shut up. And Kendall gets to him, and she starts smacking him. She really smacked him, don't you think? For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. And I was kind of cracking up to myself because, like, Kendall's so little. And I, like, you could tell that as actresses, they would have been hitting him, like, as real people. But they can't because, you know, you're acting and you can't hurt anybody like that. You know, like, couldn't you tell that? Because he was being so smarmy and nasty, you know? Anyway, it was fun.
You like the violence. You do.
I know. I thought it was good. Well, anyway, Kendall, you know, laments that he caused her to lose her best friend. And Richie's like, she's right there. Why don't you grab her and the three of us could have some fun, make this interesting. And she butts him upside the head, and then Babe puts a rag in his mouth. It was really good. Babe was squeezing that rag really hard. His eyes were all bugging out. His face was all red. His little meathead was all oozing. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I like that part.
Kendall doesn't kill him, of course, and they go to leave. And then finally, they finally answer Zach's phone call because Zach has been calling like crazy. Mm-hmm. And these idiots have not called for backup. So who comes in, of course, to let him go but Blandy?
Which I liked. I thought that was funny.
It was fine. It was good. She lets him go. But like the dumbass boys get there and they don't like, they let all this time pass and they don't try to get Richie. Like that was so, all of this is so.
Yeah, that's, it got, that got ridiculous.
Adam, they finally go in, and Adam sees the open window, and he cleverly deduces that Richie must have escaped through the window.
Why?
Because the window's open.
Oh, okay.
He must have escaped through the window.
Very good, Adam. Very good.
Thank you.
You're a regular Veronica Mars.
It's amazing.
That oh, Adam.
God. So, of course, he's gone, and Kendall, what happened? Oh, Kendall goes... Of course, like, they do these fake... It's why do they do this?
What?
The girls get temporarily freaked because they hear a noise and they go to grab an object and, like, they're going to hurt somebody. Like,
because they're the women of fusion.
That's so dumb, though. Is it, like, filler or something?
They're the women of fusion. So, wait, but then they get scared. They go out there.
Is Adam.
And you know what I just saw recently? What? I saw the Chronicles of Narnia. I saw the first one on DVD yesterday. And I saw the second one today in the movie theater, and I loved it. And you know what I discovered?
What?
And I've also been seeing The Secret of the Diary of the Call Girl on Showtime, that British TV series about a hooker. Yeah. I understand British people. It's just Adam that I don't understand.
Adam, right?
And The Chronicle of Narnia were four British teenagers. And you know what? The four British teenagers can act.
Why don't they put them out with my children?
So I guess it's just all my children's teenagers that can't act they're Brit that I can't understand.
I don't want to have to talk about those people any sooner than I have to. I'm already starting to feel that nauseous feeling. Did you?
Go see Chronicles of Narnia. It was fabulous. Both of them.
Well,
loved it.
In the meantime, we have Jesse and Ryan talking. Jesse quizzes everybody in town. He quizzes Ryan.
I didn't like those scenes either.
Horrible. Well, first of all, he called Richie Ricky.
Jesse yeah, you were did. Telling me that.
Jesse called Richie.
I thought Richie. I heard that, but unlike her, I wasn't going to rewind. I was like bored with the scenes. I was like seeing it once was enough.
That he just told Ryan that he was looking for Ricky. I couldn't believe it. So anyway. And Jesse doesn't buy the whole lame-ass excuse of Blandy going to the movies. And he has everybody check the movie theaters. And so he knows that Blandy was not at the movies.
But again, I found those scenes to be very like Jesse's the heavy and... Ryan's all defensive. It was like a repeat of the Zach scenes, and I just don't buy it. You know what I mean?
I agree with
they
that.
Know Jesse. It's not, you know what I mean?
Yep, I agree with that.
You know, I don't
but
know.
But
that's
Darnell Williams' fault, don't you think?
The who?
Darnell Williams' fault.
No, I think it's the writing. No, it's the writing.
People, God forgive me, but I really feel like Darnell Williams is overplaying this a little bit, baby. I do.
No, I think it's the writing.
Aye. Well, we didn't really finish that story then. Blandy gets Richie in the car.
Mm-hmm.
She, for some reason, has decided to help him get away. Why does she help him to get away?
Because isn't he blackmailing her with the whole vasectomy thing and everything?
So he got to get out of town. So she got to get him out of there.
She has to get him out of the hell.
They have this fight and he reminds her of all the nasty shit she did to him and how much, what else did he say to her?
But see, this is what I liked about it because now we're seeing that she was just as bad as he was. And I like that idea. I like that concept that she's not the good girl.
They never went with that. And they should have. And that's their mistake.
Well.
Anyway, long story short, he gets her so mad in the car. She doesn't understand why she ever helped him, why she didn't just basically, she all but says, I should have just killed you myself. She doesn't say that, but she all but says that. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the episode, he ain't in the car no more.
She's by herself.
And she's by herself.
And the last thing she said to was, get out, get out,
and
get
out. And she's looking very guilty. Guilty.
And he has, and he's laughing in her face like the Joker. And she's like, get out.
And on my high definition television, when they pan back on Blandy when she was sitting in the car, I saw across her forehead, it said guilty.
You an idiot. See, that was a joking idiot. Not a serious idiot.
It was written there. It was guilty. Yeah. I saw it.
Okay.
I bet you Jason saw it. Did you see it, Jason? Our friend Jason from the blog.
Jason!
I think Jason's from California.
Jason
is our teen friend from California. Jason! I like him. He's so nice. All right, listen. So that's basically the story. Now we're going to have a murder mystery on our hands. We all know what happened, so it's going to be really boring.
Except unlike the Who Killed Zach Grayson, we already know what's going on here.
We know everything.
So it's not that great of a murder mystery.
And it ain't good anyway because it's so obvious.
And it's going to involve somebody that we don't like, so.
And that's really what's a shame.
Yes.
Should we talk about her now?
Might as well get it over with. We'll save the best for last.
Yes, we will.
All right.
Hold on a second. Hold on. I got to wipe my mouth. It's starting to come out. The bile. All right. Let me take a drink of water. Hold on.
You are so dramatic. More so than Brianna Moncrief.
Oh, my God. It just, you say that name and my back goes into spasms.
Well, why don't we talk about what was wrong with it? Everything.
All right. So Brianna Moncrief decides for some dumbass reason that she's so depressed and it's her birthday and she gotta go party with Cassie and Corinna.
That was the most lame ass party. It's two people.
Did you see them big ass buckets of fried chicken? They were so big ass.
I don't know. Those weren't Popeyes. I guess they got something similar in Pine Valley.
I guess Crystal Lake. Would you tell me what was Crystal Lake?
Crystal Lake. Crystal Lake is from Friday the 13th, the movie.
Oh, that's funny.
That was my joke. They were up at Crystal Lake with Jason Voorhees, the killer.
Now I get it.
You're so silly.
I am silly.
But wait, listen. Why was she, first of all, let's talk about the inconsistencies. Why was she getting drunk? Why was she upset? Like, if they would have given us a scene where she again approached Frankie and Frankie rejected her, or if she could see that Frankie was like falling in love with Randy, then I could see her having motivated.
She was upset about Adam lying about everything.
Not enough reason for
Thank
me.
Thank you, I agree.
Not enough reason for
I
me.
I have another question for you.
What?
Why is Brianna Moncrief even on the show?
I don't know. Especially after this week, you would think they'd realize what a mistake they made and fire her.
We forgot to mention.
We got to mention that Friday was a repeat.
Yes.
And we got to see our beloved Amber.
Amber,
the real Kobe. The real Kobe. The real Kobe. And I can mean that. And say it. The real Kobe.
We miss you. She looked great, didn't she?
She looked hot in that red dress.
She was beautiful. They did the Campbells.
Yeah, that Campbells episode.
But
again.
It was also the Jesse Angie reunion.
I know.
I cried all over again.
And I heard my Alicia Keys song. I was like, oh.
I cried all over
again. I did. It was like, I cried for Jesse and Angie. I cried for Amber. It was a very tearful episode.
I'm not going to talk anymore about that. All Brianna Moncrief.
Brianna Moncrief!
I hope that poor girl does not listen to this program.
I hope she does. Maybe then it'll teach her like to go take an acting class or something.
That is horrible.
If she graduated from Fordham, what did they say? That she's a Fordham U graduate?
I don't know.
Future actors of America, do not go to Fordham University to learn acting, obviously.
One credit on The Sopranos.
I mean, I'm just going to say this. I really don't like knocking people, but you know what? You're putting yourself up there for us to knock you. You're on the show.
She didn't do it.
She put herself up there.
Judy Bly Wilson.
But my thing is, we comment on the show, so that means we have to comment on her. And I'm sorry, all our comments are bad because her acting is bad. She's horrible. And I don't want you guys snapping on Randy anymore, because until Brianna Moncrief fired, Randy's off limits, because Brianna Moncrief is the worst actress on the show. Hands down.
Listen, Randy is Meryl Streep next to Brianna Moncrief. I'm telling you right now.
Oh, my God. Those scenes were... I can't tell you how awful they were to watch.
Tell them what happened.
I don't even know where to begin. First of all, even Karina looked like a freaking better actress than Brianna Moncrief.
Oh, that was bad. The whole thing.
The creator. First of all, we have not seen. What is her character's name? Karina.
Karina.
I'm going to call her Karina. I'm going to call her Karina. Like that movie.
Karina.
Anyway. Even she was, you know what I remember
about?
I
don't want to call her Karina. I don't want two of her.
And her nerdy boyfriend who Kobe was making out with. Oh, but yet she wouldn't make out with Dre.
This is what happened, people.
What's your favorite color?
For all of you that don't
What's your favorite color?
Fast forwarded through those scenes.
What's your favorite color?
I'm jealous. But for those of y'all who did, what happened was Colby has this dumb party and it's terrible. She's drinking seltzer and eating bad fried chicken with Karina and with Cassie. And then the boys show up, Dre and the other nerd.
The boys, just two. Two boys. Two. One's a nerd and the other one's a black hole that sucks all the life around him out.
Yes. His name will be Dre.
Okay.
Dre Wood. Woods.
Dre the Void.
Dre the Black Hole. So these nasty boys bring beer. And of course, Ms. Colby can't resist a nice cold brewski. So she downs like 12 of them.
Now see, I'm not a beer drinker. Do you really get that wasted on beer? You could get that wasted? Absolutely. Really? Mm-hmm. Okay, see, I'm not a beer drinker, people, so I don't know. I didn't know
you
beer.
You have to drink a lot. Because
she was like, all like, ooh.
You have to drink a lot of it, and usually you have to drink so much that you puke, so she should have been puking.
Anyway, it was just awful to watch. It was awful to watch. Her fake drunk.
So bad.
Her fake drunk was so bad. I mean, you think that she couldn't get any worse sober? She was worse drunk. It just was really bad to watch. It was hard to watch. It was unbelievable. She was stiff. I didn't believe her.
And she's like fake making out.
She's making out with the nerd boy, which made no sense. And poor Karina is looking at her like, oh, with this attitude.
That's all better with her nerd glasses.
You know who my heart really goes out for? Poor Cassie.
The viewers?
No, poor Cassie. Poor Yaya. Because she's like, God damn it, I may not be Emmy Award winning material yet, but I know I'm better than these four. And she has to be stuck with them.
She's very pretty. She ain't thrilling me yet, though, Jordan. She good. How can she
thrill you when they're putting up against these people?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
That are sucking the energy out of her.
You know what I noticed too? Remember we used to talk about it? We used to talk about it on this program.
What?
Even Amber used to suffer from being paired with the bad teens.
Mm-hmm.
She's such a great actress.
Sydney.
Oh,
her friend Sydney.
God. They finally took her out of the crowd.
Who was blander than Misha Barton on the OC.
Oh, my God.
She looked like little Misha Barton.
This is my question. She got let go within like four episodes. Why is it these people have to stay?
I don't know, but this was what I was telling Ashley before, and I know you guys don't like me mentioning that other show, so I'm not going to mention it by name.
No, you can mention
it. All My Children's Sister Show.
One Life to Live. Listen, I ain't got no problem you talking about it. In fact, we're going to save a few minutes at the end of the program, people, so you keep listening if you watch One Life to Live, because Jordan Hudson is going to give a little recap for you.
I'm going to say this. I personally, like, it's hard for me, because I'm watching One Life to Live first when I get home. If I'm not there watching it live, I'm watching it home on my DVR. I take One Life to Live first because I'm more interested in what's going on One Life to Live. So I'm coming from watching these incredibly emotional, dramatic scenes with teenage star and her boyfriend Cole, some powerful stuff that should get her a nomination next year, and then I have to tune into the teens on All My Children.
Alicia Toronto does not agree with you.
Do you know what? She don't like Star and Cole?
She tried. She didn't like it.
She didn't like One Life to Live or Star and Cole?
One Life to Live, she couldn't take it.
Oh, well. Sorry, Elise. But anyway, Star and Cole. I mean, and then I have to watch these four kids that are just horrendous. Because I like Cassie, but the other four I did not like. So we didn't end the storyline. Karina gets upset and she leaves with her boyfriend.
She gets upset because
her boyfriend was making out with Kobe.
Because Kobe was grinding her ass.
And her boyfriend wasn't doing anything to stop it.
And he was liking it. That geeky boy was getting like all turns on.
So she ran off. Where she was going, I don't know, because she didn't have her own car.
They were in the woods.
So then I thought Richie was going to kill them off one by one. I was like, yeah!
Oh, wouldn't it have been good?
Ray was like, maybe Richie will kill them all one by one.
I would love that story.
That would have been cool.
Put Richie in a hockey mask. Oh, yeah.
So then Nerd Boy follows Karina. And then Dre and Cassie are realizing that they have to take Kobe home. And then Adam calls up there wanting to speak to Kobe.
I love that.
And then Yaya Cassie is making a dumb excuse, and Dre's trying to help her with his pantomime looking like Shields and Yarnell, which I didn't understand at all.
He's like, Shields and Yarnell.
Those are those mimes that used to do those things. Funny. So like that's what, because Dre was like miming to her, like, I'm like, oh, you an idiot, Dre. And anyway, and then you see when Dre and her were like flirting, and she's like, well, you need to at least know somebody's like color, you know, favorite color before you stick their tongue down their throat.
Yeah.
And he was like, so what's your favorite color? And I was just like, green, because I'm going to hurl. I could not. I'm sorry. I want Josh. Josh. Josh likes his meat a little dark. We already discovered that.
30-something. She's 18 years old.
And how old? And how old was, what's her name?
Who?
Josh took her virginity.
Yeah, he was young when he came on the show.
That was 2 years ago.
Yeah, but he was only 22 when he came on the show. It's kind of true. They ate.
What was her name? Derek's daughter.
Danny.
Danny. He took Danny's virginity.
Some people want Danny back. I was listening to
who?
I was listening to another podcast.
Which one of you?
They want Danny back.
Which one of you wants Danny back?
I don't know.
It has to be just one of you.
It was from another podcast.
But just one person.
Yes.
It was Danny herself.
Daddy slipped
up. Daddy went to herself. And she's like, bring my character back, please.
Oh, that's. Well, listen. Basically, what happens is the teens leave. I don't know who's driving. How does Kobe end up driving if she's so wasted?
Who says that Kobe's driving? We haven't seen who's driving.
We know what's going to happen. She's going to end up driving the car.
Well, that's stupid if they're letting a drunk girl drive them.
Something's going to happen when she gets behind that wheel.
All I know is that, as the papers have been saying, Kobe and them think that Kobe hit him with the car. Dre is going to take the fall for it because he's going to protect his little Kobe. And I could care less about any of them.
All right. Well, you know who I really care about? I care about Adam and Crystal. And Carmen.
This is what I was telling you about, sheer brilliance in writing and acting. Jersey Rican in our blog said that they don't like Miss Crystal, Bobby East. Not necessarily the Bobby East, the actress,
well,
but Crystal,
I told
the character.
You last week, I mentioned that there are people that hate
the character Crystal.
That's right.
See, but my thing is, you can't hate the character, hate the writers. You can't hate the character, hate the writers. Because the writers make the other characters act stupid. It's not like, you know what I mean? It's not Crystal's fault if they're acting like idiots.
What is your explanation for New Kobe?
That's the actress. Hate the actress. With New Kobe, you hate the actress, not the writers. You hate the actress and the casting directors.
Right, listen. I'm going to put a stamp on it right now. No more New Kobe discussion the rest of the show.
Okay.
These poor viewers.
Okay. Look, my thing with Crystal is, I'm going to tell you, I didn't like Crystal at the beginning either. I hated Crystal when she first came on because she was trying to take Tad away from Liza. And anybody that goes up against my Liza. But I, you know, and yes, Crystal did some bad things in her past. But you know what? She grew and she learned from them. And now she's in a different place. That's what I love about soaps. Characters change and they grow and they learn. What?
Jordan.
Yeah.
She was making out with Adam this week.
Because she really loves them.
I'm just saying. I'm just pointing out.
But that's the brilliance in the writing and the acting, is that this is good soap opera. This is a woman torn between two lovers.
All I'm saying is, I'm not so
branded
sure,
like a fool.
I'm not so sure that she's grown that much. That's all I'm saying.
What I'm saying is, it's good drama, good stuff. I'm enjoying
it.
I'm enjoying it.
Bobby Eakes fan in the world.
I was enjoying
love
it. She would
her.
Then tell me she wasn't fabulous this week.
Incredible.
How she underplayed those scenes and she wasn't over the top. She was just, was that not real?
I agree.
With those scenes when she was in Tad's arms.
Percent.
When she was in Tad's arms
my
and the look on her face.
Broke for her because she, the way she betrayed him and she knew it.
Oh, if you missed. This is the reason to watch this week.
This is what happened. So she gets the news. She walks in on JR and Adam finding out that babe has been kidnapped. All right? So she's upset. Adam was a jerk. He tells JR that babe probably met, you know, Richie on purpose and went out for a drink or something like that. So he was pissed. But she was so... This is what I found a little funny. Crystal was so upset that she could not dial her speed dial and call her husband Tad to let her know that she was going to be staying. JR had to go call Tad to let him know that she would be staying at the Chandler Mansion. That was a little silly.
Yeah.
So then, you know, all right, fine. So she was upset. But it's like, I have to say, at this point, I was kind of laughing to myself because it almost seemed like these poor women, the Fusion girls included and Crystal, have to be so upset by someone being kidnapped or tortured or mugged or attempted murdered. I mean, it's like, it's almost like this was kind of old hat for Crystal. You know what I'm saying?
It's Wednesday, the middle of the month. Time for babe to get kidnapped.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So anyway, it was funny. But she looked amazing in the red dress. Amazing. And she sits down with Adam and they talk about Babe and how much she says that Adam hates Babe. And I have to say, he starts to talk about Babe and I thought about you, Jordan Hudson.
Why?
Because as he was describing when he first met Babe and how he loved her vim and vigor and how she always fascinated him, who do you think I pictured?
Alexa Havens.
Absolutely. I pictured Alexa Havens in my brain. So I thought about you. I thought that was really interesting. Anyway, he just holds Crystal. And this is when Adam is at his best. When his woman is suffering, he comforts her and he holds her. And then they kiss and I loved it. And then, I gotta tell you something though. You're not gonna like it. You know how sometimes older gentlemen have kind of like that old man smell? You never noticed this. People, no. Please tell me. They have like an older odor to them. Like a breath, kind of smell, kind of scent. Not like dirty, but just old.
Musty?
A little musty. It's a little musty. I sometimes wonder, like, when Bobby Eakes is kissing David Canary, if he's a little musty. You should see
Horrid!
You should see Jordan's face.
You're horrid. It's not like he's in an old age home.
He's not young.
But those are old people that are in an old age home.
He was in Gunsmoke. Most of our listeners weren't even alive when Gunsmoke was on the air.
I can't even discuss that comment.
Come on.
You call my Palmer Chompers?
He is I miss Chompers. Chomp, 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 chomp. Listen, I say what people might be thinking. That's all.
That was my favorite line on MVP this week.
What?
I gotta tell you this. You gotta watch your MVP.
I haven't watched it.
MVP. Trevor, the young rookie who's on the team, his like hick girlfriend from the small town of Canada, she decides that she needs to be there, even though he said don't come. She wants to be there for his first game. So what does she do with that grandmother of hers who's like practically an invalid and like uses a walker and like can't get any around? She decides she's going to finally check her into that old age home. And I was on the floor because she's like bringing in the grandma. The grandmother's on the walker. This grandmother can't talk or move on her own. So she's like, Grandma, don't worry. It's going to be fabulous here. I was talking to the receptionist. She's like, and like there's like, like backgammon and like what's the
shuffleboard.
She goes shuffleboard thing. She goes and the food looks kind of good, and you know with that Viagra coming in, this place is gonna be kind of hopping and a jumping. I was on the floor. I just sat there and I kept hitting the rewind button because I was like, this girl did not just say that.
That is the best
Viagra at the old age home.
I love that. Well, you know Adam be taking his Viagra, mm-hmm. because him and his Crystal, they have some magically hot chemistry. But as they're kissing, who comes in for her first day of work? Mama, yo quiero.
You leave her alone.
Mama, yo quiero, mama.
We are never going to agree on this because I love me some Carmen.
Carmen Miranda comes in. I'm sorry, Carmen Morales.
Carmen Sugar Morales.
That's right. She comes in and she picks up the cell phone, not even a house phone, a cell phone. And she does her perfectly best, you know, greeting. Chandler residence.
But did you see Tad's reaction? He looked at his phone like, who the fuck is this?
I love it. That
look. Michael Knight's fabulous. Look and he says more than certain actors say with dialogue. He's amazing.
So Carmen goes to hand Mrs. Tad Martin the phone and says, it's the telephone. I think it's your husband. great.
That shows she's a Puerto Rican woman. She was in there for 2 seconds and she was able to just dissect everything and know what everything was going on. I loved it. She was fabulous.
So Crystal skedaddles and she goes home to Tad, and Tad, of course, is perfect. He's just like understanding and lovely and loving, and Crystal just woe is me the whole time. And she says, "I'm sorry" to him, and of course, you know, she's not going to say what really she was sorry for. She makes it up. She says, "I'm sorry that you had to go through this and all that stuff." But it was pretty good. So then, okay, I think, was it the next day or that same day that Carmen comes in with her new maid outfit?
No, same night, yeah.
She pimps it out like Erica pimped out her jail uniform. She pimps out her maid uniform.
And she actually gave Erica credit. She said, "I did what Erica would do."
And Adam says, "That's totally inappropriate. Totally."
She was looking hot in that dress.
She looked great. I was very impressed.
And she cleans up nice, our little Carmen.
I love too, because it was so funny, because Carlos again was watching with me, and of course, you know, Adam talks to himself all the time.
Yeah.
And it's so soap opera. And Carmen comes in and she says, "You know, I don't even mind when you are talking to yourself," or something like that. "I don't mind when you're talking to yourself. That's okay with me, that talking to yourself thing." I loved it. It was great.
I got to tell you, if these writers do not realize what a gem they have with her and make sure that she stays on the show, the possibilities are endless. Her and David Canary had some major chemistry going.
They did.
Major chemistry.
She keeps like going in and out, like bugging him with silly things. Like she comes in. The reason why I call her Carmen Miranda was because at the end of Thursday's episode, she comes in with a flower in her hair, big Carmen Miranda giant earrings, like totally Carmen Miranda'd out. And Jordan Hudson is looking at me with daggers right now.
I love that. We're going to disagree. She feels it's stereotypical, and somebody else in the blog said the same thing.
Jersey Rican.
And I got to say, as a Puerto Rican, as a Latin, I don't find it stereotypical. And I'm the first one who, when I think something's stereotypical, I like Law and Order.
Did you see? It kind of reminds me of, do you remember when Archie Bunker hired a Puerto Rican maid after Edith died?
That wasn't after Edith died.
Oh, was during?
That was during. That was Miss Liz Torres. Mm-hmm.
Does he know people?
That was Miss Liz Torres. She was not a maid. They rented out the room and she was their boarder. And that's what made Liz Torres famous.
He ended up having a Puerto Rican maid. That was the whole thing. He did.
I don't know. In Archie Bunker place?
Absolutely.
Are you sure? Because I remember his niece taking care of like the kids, the little brown haired girl.
You might be right. I don't know. You might be right. I thought he had a Puerto Rican maid, but it kind of reminds me of that.
I just think that the character Carmen is great, and I think it's the possibilities are endless, and they need to keep her on the show.
I adore her, but listen, the more they keep her on this Hoochie Mama Carmen Miranda track, the less she's going to have a storyline.
I disagree with you. I mean, how is this any different from Opal?
And Opal doesn't have a storyline.
But Opal had a storyline. How do I see her fitting in is the whole Eliza Doolittle, My Fair Lady kind of thing. She's going to grow and change if they write it. They have to write it. They have to give her a storyline. We already seen her grow. She's not the same woman who was at the courthouse yelling at the judge. She's changed. She's grown a little.
Who does she end up with? Don't say
the
Josh.
Possibilities are endless.
Josh.
JR, Josh, Adam, no Jackson, way. No Action way. Jackson.
No way.
I could see her with any of them. I could see her having chemistry. I think that it would be good for them to be with somebody like that's different than them. I see it.
All right. Well, might as well talk about her cohort, Erica, and sexy Sammy Woods. They got locked in solitary this week. Lockdown, lockdown. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't breathe. Sam, I can't breathe. It makes me think of when I was in solitary. The walls just closed in. It's not right. It's not right for anyone to be in this place for 42 minutes and 33 seconds. It's torture. Yes, they kissed. They opened up to each other and they kissed. And you know what?
Middle America was turning off the TV. The Bible Belt was like, "What's this?"
Listen, someone, was it Melissa? Someone made a comment that they thought that he looked like a wax figure from a wax museum.
Bobblehead.
Martin, what's his name?
Mario Van Peebles.
Mario Van Peebles. Mario Van Peebles, I thought, actually gave a great monologue about his wife and about how she was doing pottery up all night and she was just elated. And she looked at him and said, "Let's go. Let's take me and you and Andre and go and have a day off."
Is that what Dre's short for?
I think so, yeah.
Oh.
I always thought Andre was Andre. Anyway, so she said that, and he looked at her, at her beautiful face, and he said, no, we got to go to work. And her face just went, the fire just went out, and she said, okay. And she went, and she went to work, and she never came back from work. And I loved his monologue delivery. I loved it. And Erica almost looked like she was crying. Erica actually managed to moisten her eyes with her own actual tear fluid. Why are you looking at me like that?
What? I'm just listening.
I thought it was good. I really liked it. I liked the kiss. I liked the whole description. I liked the whole thing. And then Jack calls a couple times, right? Jordan, they can't hear you when you nod your head.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Jordan's nodding his head.
Because you know what? I'm going to say what I'm going to say about this. I agree with you. I like the scenes. I like the two of them together. My problem again is he's been on the show how long?
83 years.
He's been on for quite some time. They bring him on once every other Thursday. And like
Sam or Jack?
And like, I'm talking about Sam.
Oh, Sam's been on 78 years.
Yeah, and like they bring him on every other Thursday for like 5 minutes. And it's like, it's hard for us. Like, you had this guy for how long? Why haven't you been using? How do you expect us to be invested in the storyline when you're not giving us a storyline to get invested in?
Did we see Mr. Jake at all this week?
Exactly my point. I think he was on for a nanosecond. Wasn't he? Like, this is what I'm talking about. This is my problem. And then the thing is, again, a new writer's coming on. Is that new writer going to continue with the Jungle Fever storyline?
I agree.
Because me personally, I kind of like the fact that Erica's with a brother.
Me too.
I kind of think that's hot.
Has she ever been with a
Because, you know, All My Children was never. The first show that had the interracial thing with Angie and Cliff. And let me tell you something. We've come a long way in 20 years because
people hated that.
People hated Angie with Cliff. And it wasn't because of Angie being with Cliff because everybody was like all Cliff and Nina. It was because she was black. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and Peter Bergman went on record with some of the hate mail that he got.
I read some of it. It was terrible.
I got to tell you that when Kobe and Frankie didn't happen, I wondered if that was because of the fact that maybe we hadn't come a long way. That's what I was thinking at first.
I thought it was
because they're not even showing Kobe and Frankie anymore. What happened to Kobe's interest in Frankie?
Because they had no chemistry.
You don't think Amber and Cornelius had chemistry?
I told you this. I'm the one of two people that thought they had no chemistry.
I thought Amber and Cornelius had chemistry. I didn't think it was
wrong. They worked well together, but I didn't think they had chemistry.
No, I thought they had chemistry.
Sexual chemistry? No.
I thought they had chemistry.
No.
I like them.
Too young. Too young for him. I hate Randy.
That's a nice segue, Ashley.
I hate her.
Why?
Boring. DBTE, lame storyline, copycat storyline, done so much better 20 years ago, so much better. I'm not buying it. And Jake, what a waste of Jake.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
Wait, isn't one of our bloggers like a nurse or something?
Yes, Kat.
Kat, you watch the show. I need you to answer me something. Frankie said that she got some kind of brain surgery stuff. Wouldn't her head be shaved?
Yes, for sure. Well, absolutely sure. But she had a brain surgery?
They said something about her, Randy, having some kind of brain thing. They had to go in her brain.
Well, they did.
Why was her head not shaved? And why does she keep touching her forehead?
Her bleeding, oozing forehead.
Every time she touches it, I'm like, when she was talking, was it Angie or Jake who was talking to her? And she turned her head and put her head on the pillow. And it was the injured side. And I'm like, doesn't that hurt? It hurts me to watch you. I'm like,
I wanted Angie to kick her ass. I did.
I love Angie getting on Mama Bear, though.
I did like that.
I like Angie getting on Mama. Don't you be blaming my son. I was just like,
you have got 2 minutes to talk about One Life to Live.
One Life to Live was good. I'm sorry, Elise, that you don't like it, but it was fabulous. This week, we found out that Talia is the daughter of Carlo Hessler, who's returned. Yes, evil Carlo Hessler is back, and he's Talia's father. And Tina's Prince of Medora seems to be Kane. It's Christopher Cousins who played Kane, so I'm assuming that Kane is back to his own con artist ways. Meanwhile, poor Star is still determined to give up her baby for adoption. Cole, of course, doesn't want that to happen. So how does the week end? He went to his arch nemesis, Todd, and is ready to tell Todd that he got his daughter pregnant. So
Whoa!
Monday is going to be some fireworks.
That is huge. charge. I love that.
And of course, Tess is now in charge, and poor Natalie doesn't know what the hell is coming for her.
I love that.
Bree, you are doing a fabulous job as Tess. And we're getting ready for Rex and Bo to go into the past as Lindsay and Bo. Doesn't seem like to be getting married, being that Nora spilled the beans to Bo.
Why am I so confused? I thought that Kevin Hicklin was off the show.
She's a recurring. There's a lot of recurring. She's recurring. Eileen Kristen, who plays Roxy, who I love, she's recurring.
She's been recurring a long time.
I love the fact that they all... This is the thing I like about One Night to Live is that they have all these characters, and they have some of these characters recurring. But the thing is, everybody's in a storyline and everybody's being used. That's the difference between All My Children and One Night to Live.
An actress like Julia Barr would not go on recurring.
Yeah, but you don't. Catherine Hicklin's not a Julia Barr. Julia Barr is like an Erica Slezak. You keep her on burner. Yeah. That's the difference.
All right, I buy that. I buy that. Well, that was very exhilarating.
I get mad about that Julia Barr situation. I'm still very upset about that. I got to tell you, every time I think about Brooke and Julia Barr and the way she was treated, just like Katie McClain, I feel disgusted.
Absolutely.
That you would treat an Emmy award-winning actress that has given over 20 years of her life to this show and dismiss her.
Yeah, I agree.
The way, you know what I mean?
Totally.
I just...
Agree. Couldn't agree more, Jordan Hudson.
You just brought up Brooke, so it just brought that up in me because I missed my Julia Barr.
I am so sorry.
I missed my Brooke. Even though I didn't like my Brooke when she was going after Edmund because I did want my Edmund and Maria. I loved my Edmund and Maria.
Oh, now he's dead.
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
Oh, that's a whole nother podcast.
I didn't like that either, the way they treated him, but...
All right, people. Well, listen, we have chatted and chatted about Brianna Moncrief.
Brianna Moncrief!
We...
Scooby-Doo!
What? If you want to write us, do so. Be kind. Be gentle. PVP at pinevalleypodcast.com, or you can go to our MySpace page, which is www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast, or you can go to our website for links and goodies and all that stuff, www.pinevalleypodcast.com. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
Thanks again for being with us this week, and here's a little something just for you.
In 1967, you started your recurring role as Candy Kennedy on the Western Bonanza. How did this come about, and who hired you for the role?
Let's see, I'd done Umbre, a film with Paul Newman. I played a bad guy that didn't live through the first reel. But I had a couple of scenes, and I was seen by David Dortort, and my agent got me an audition for a part that they'd been looking for quite a while, I understand, part of the guy of Candy on Bonanza, and I went in and auditioned, and I remember very distinctly, I read a scene, sort of, and he said, I want to know, he said, can you get angry? And I had my back to him when he said that. And just on pure instinct, I turned around and told him to go straight to hell. I'll get angry when I goddamn get ready to get angry. And I can't say all the bad words. But I said them to him, and I think I actually literally scared him. And he said, yeah, that was me being angry. And so I got the part.